Russian jet crash investigation.
There is a possibility it was a bomb.
Fighting ISIS in Syria.
54% favor boots on the ground.
Live from New York.
Donald Trump has got to go. Hey, hey.
An SNL protest. Good morning. I'm Steve Kathan. With the CBS World News Roundup, U.S. and British intelligence suggests the crash of a Russian jetliner in the Sinai Peninsula last weekend could very well have been an act of terror. British Foreign Secretary Philip Hammond.
There is a significant possibility that the Russian aircraft was brought down by an explosive device on board.
U.S. officials say intercepted communications have played a role in the tentative conclusions. Britain has suspended flights to and from the region. They could resume tomorrow. Thousands of tourists stranded.
I personally think you need to live your life and not let the terrorists win, because that's what will be happening.
Well, CBS News security analyst Michael Morrell is with us now. What's important to know about the ISIS group that's now twice claimed responsibility?
So this is the most significant terrorist group in the Sinai. They operate in the northern part of the Sinai. There's about 1,000 to 1,500 of these guys. They came together after Mubarak left office. They've conducted a number of attacks against Egyptian military facilities. They're a fairly sophisticated group.
If they're able to find out this definitively was a bomb, what are the implications?
We'd have to start worrying about yet another group with the capability to bring down an aircraft. Right now, we're really worried about Al-Qaeda in Yemen and the Khorasan group in Syria, so we'd have to start worrying about another group with that capability. I think it would focus the world's attention on ISIS even more, and that would be a good thing. I think it potentially could be politically damaging to Vladimir Putin. There's already some criticism in Russia saying, look at the implications of our intervention in Syria. This is the price we're paying.
Michael Morrell, thanks very much. With a group of American special forces heading for Syria, there's a new look at how we feel about battling ISIS on the ground. CBS's Heather Bosch joins us.
Those special forces will be mainly assisting local fighters, but a new poll shows Americans want more U.S. boots on the ground.
American voters support sending troops to fight in Iraq against ISIS or in Syria against ISIS by a pretty large margin, 54% to 38%.
Pollster Tim Malloy, he says despite ongoing airstrikes against terrorist targets, most of those surveyed, 66%, think the U.S. and its allies are losing the war against ISIS.
Now to suburban Chicago, where a group that helps survivors of cops killed in the line of duty wants its money back. It gave $15,000 to Joe Glinowitz's family. His death, first thought to be a murder, was a suicide amid fears his theft of thousands from a youth group would be revealed. Investigator George Falenko says the twist in the story has left scars.
I felt ashamed of being a police officer. It reflected on all of us.
Now to Oakland, Maine, where police say two women and a man were shot to death last night in a house by a man who then shot and killed himself. A four-year-old girl was found unharmed in the home. There's no word on a motive. No classes today at the University of California, Merced, after yesterday's knife attack that left three students injured. Sheriff Vern Warnke says construction worker Byron Price acted heroically.
A contract worker actually went in thinking it was a student fight and end up stumbling onto the stabbing in progress. And I actually think that he, through his actions, saved this one student's life.
Police say the attacker was a student who was shot and killed by officers as he fled. San Diego police say the gunman who fired from a rooftop apartment surrendered after a five-hour standoff yesterday. The incident was close enough to disrupt air travel at the city's airport not far away. The State Department's rejected TransCanada's call for a delay of the federal review of the Keystone XL pipeline project. Spokesman John Kirby.
A lot of interagency work has gone into this, and the secretary believes that it's most appropriate to keep that process in place.
Critics say the company wanted to wait till President Obama leaves office, hoping a Republican president perhaps would support the pipeline. One of the top Republicans in the presidential race is the target of protesters.
Donald Trump has got to go. Hey, hey. Ho, ho.
Petitions call for NBC to drop Trump as host of this weekend's Saturday Night Live by groups who say he's been racist and xenophobic. The show's been heavily promoted.
Because of equal time rules for television, Mr. Trump can only speak for 4 seconds in this promo.
So let me just say this. Ben Carson is a complete and total loser.
In a new biography, George H.W. Bush criticizes key members of his son's presidential team. He says Vice President Cheney acted too independently. Defense Secretary Rumsfeld served the president badly. For the 11th time since July, a high school football player has died in this country. 17-year-old Luke Shem of Sharon Springs, Kansas, was taken off life support days after collapsing on the sidelines. Family and friends saw comfort at a vigil.
We can't go backwards. We can only go forwards. So we just, we do it together.
Kraft Heinz is closing 7 plants and cutting 2,600 jobs over the next 2 years. The Oscar Mayer plant in Madison, Wisconsin, is on the list. Workers are not surprised.
Been seeing it coming for a while. We've been losing product out of this plant for several years, and I've been watching it downsize. We've got so many empty spots up there, it's not even funny.
The latest news about obesity may be welcomed by junk food fans. Live to CBS's Barry Bagnano.
Analyzing federal data, Cornell researcher David Just admits he was surprised to find 95% of Americans across a range of body weights consume roughly the same amounts of soda, candy, and fast food. Conclusion, he says, junk food's not the prime driver of obesity.
People are going to be listening to this and they're going to say, look at that, I can eat all the junk food I want now, it's not going to make a difference.
That's actually sort of my nightmare scenario. It doesn't say that it's okay to eat as much of that as you want.
It does say obesity is complex and that consumption patterns, including snacking, should get more attention. This study in obesity science and practice. Steve?
Cancer has claimed screenwriter Melissa Matheson at 65.
E.T. Phone home.
She gave us E.T. and The Black Stallion, among others. A man who's written a lot of songs for other big stars had his breakthrough moment last night at the Country Music Awards on ABC.
Chris Stapleton!
Chris Stapleton won for Best Male Vocalist, Best New Artist, and Album of the Year for Traveler. The U.S. gets a C in a new March of Dimes report card looking at premature births, and there is a state-by-state breakdown.
For the first time, the nonprofit graded cities around the nation and found that Portland, Oregon has the best preterm birth rate in the nation at 7.2%. Vermont, Idaho, and Washington states all got A's, but the March of Dimes' Dr. Diane Ashton says...
The ones with the worst... That have gotten an F is Alabama, Louisiana, Mississippi, and Puerto Rico.
She says southern states tend to have higher rates of poverty and obesity and less access to medical care. Allison Keys, CBS News.
On social media, tennis star Serena Williams says she chased down a man who swiped her phone at a Southern California restaurant. She got it back. And in the post, which includes pictures of herself in a Supergirl outfit, she tells women not to be afraid to be a superhero. That's the World News Roundup for Thursday. I'm Steve Kathan, CBS News.